Blog Talk Radio.
She had the radio on all the time, but of course I was too little to remember. But maybe I was bopping in my crib. That's a possibility. That's a possibility. I can see it happening. I can see it all now, right before my eyes. Yeah. And if you guys are believing any of this, you're gullible. But that's all right. It doesn't hurt to be a little bit gullible sometimes. You know, life's a lot more fun when you're gullible once in a while, you know. Oh, yeah, it's a lot more fun. Anyway, I've got a lot of stuff today. We've got a few leftovers, not many, but a few, and it's going to be so good, so, so good. We've got some Indians leftovers. We've got a Sabrina Fallon, Shane Moore leftover. We've got a couple of leftovers from the last show. Not many. You know, I mean, you know, we're not talking big time leftovers. We're talking one or two songs. And it's just going to be so fun. It's just so fun. And then if we get to that point, John even sent me a Trogs song, and that's cool. I love it. So, you know, and lest we forget, the most important song in the whole show is after a little while, we're going to play Ghost Chickens in the Sky. So you got to be prepared for that. And anybody you know that's not in here to hear that, you need to message him and tell him, hey, you got to come in because we're going to have ghost chickens, you know, and it's fried chicken for dinner, if you dare. And this is a cool version because on this version, Marty Stewart is laughing his head off. He's playing guitar, Leroy Troy is playing his banjo and singing, and of course they got the bass player and the drummer, all that stuff in there, but Marty Stewart is right next to Leroy Troy, and he's playing the guitar, but he's laughing so hard that sometimes he has a problem. But it's so funny. Oh, it's funny. So if somebody's not here, go fetch them, because they need to hear this. And we'll probably play it, I might say in half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. So you got a little time to fetch them over. Do it now, okay? You don't want them to miss this. You don't want them to miss this. This is unmissable. Yeah. I don't even know if that's a word, but that's okay. I made it a word. I'm going to start my own dictionary. You'd be surprised at the strange things I can come up with. All right, first one I'm going to play is from Sabrina Fallon and Shane Moore. And this one, it was last week, I believe last Thursday, that John sent this. And it's called Candlelight and Wine. Think about it. Candlelight and Wine. Oh, yeah. And your favorite song. Chiggers is a normal thing, right? You betcha. Make sure there's no snakes down there before you lay down to roll. All right. Let the dog do it first. He'll find him if there is. There you go. Okay, let's go with the Indian show band, Bed of Roses. And it's not quite what you think.
See you put your hands together for me. Come on. Yeah. All right. Those of you who have drinks in your hands, you can just stamp your feet on the floor. Well, we got it going well. She was called a scarlet woman by the people.
She took him in when he didn't have any place to go but to sit in the rain. And she brought him to be a man. And we all know what that means, and that's no big deal. But he loved her. He loved her. And before she died, she knew that she was loved by someone. And that's an important thing. It's an important thing. He gave her a very great gift with that love. So that's why I always say, and I learned it the hard way, you always take an opportunity to tell someone you love them, but make it true, okay? Because you might not get another chance. You might say, oh, well, you know, not right now. It's not a good time. Next week. Well, by next week, their house might have fallen down on their head, or they could have been caught in a fire, an earthquake, or they could have drowned in a flood, and you don't get that chance that you passed up. So always take that chance to say, I love you. Because when you have someone in your heart and you feel that for them, that's important. And it's important for them to know. And it could make their life a whole lot better. Just knowing somebody loves them. Think about it. I learned it as a very important lesson at 16. So, yeah, I missed my last chance to tell my grandpa I love you. and that has haunted me ever since. So don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen. Okay, here's another one I didn't have time to play last week, and it's another one John sent. I love it when my shows are full of what John sends. It's great. This is sung by a guy named Marchette. Who knows? I have no idea. But I gave it my best shot. I gave it 3 shots. Maybe none of them are right. I don't know. But it's kind of a cool song. It's called "The King Is Gone."
I was barely 6 years old when I first heard him sing, and somehow I knew from that moment on that it would be a lifetime thing. And I'd stand in front of a mirror day and night, and I'd listen to every one of his records, and I'd repeat every word and every note till I finally got it right. And I was determined that I'd wait for the day that I could stand and sing in front of an audience, and maybe someone would come up to me and say, "You know, you sound just like Elvis." There was a man who gave the world his song, and the world stood still to hear him sing. A simple man who took his faith alone, while all the world proclaimed him king. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign, and the crown on his head will remain. From a working man to royalty, to everlasting fame, the king is gone. Yeah, the king is gone, but long live his name. There was a man who tasted sweet success, but still gave his hand to help a friend. A loving man who shared his happiness. Now the king is gone, but there was a man. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign, and the crown on his head, oh, will remain. From a working man to royalty, to everlasting fame, the king is gone. Yeah, the king is gone. Long live his name. Yeah, the king is gone. Oh, the king is gone. Long live his name. Goodbye, Elvis. We'll miss you.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that song just make you want to cry? Except for that part. Yeah. I love that song, though. It just... Yeah, you get all choked up and your tears start to gather up in your eyes and... Yeah. Crap. Hey, excuse me. I am going to play a song by our friend Ronnie James. You guys remember Ronnie? He used to be known as our anonymous singer, and then he gave us his stage name. So I'm going to play a song that I have in the library by him. And yeah, I think he does a good job on this one. The Impossible Dream.
impossible dream to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run with the brave that I go. All right, they are right or wrong, to be better far that you are, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach a reachable star. How does it make way to cover that star? No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right when I question the bar. To be with it, you fight with your hell for a heavenly God. And I know if I only be true to this glorious quest, then my heart will I peaceful and calm when I was laid to my rest. Another world will be better for this than what men's gone and covered with scars. He still strode with his last house of courage to reach the unreachable star. Life will be better for this on that one man. God and government's God, he still strove with his last ounce of courage, yet to hooray the unreachable star.
That's one of those where you got to wait until the echo dies away. Da-da-da-da! And he actually hit that last note. I'm so proud of him. Yep, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that. Elvis could do it every time. Things like that just make a singer special when they can do things that not everybody can do. I think that's fantastic. And, yeah, Ronnie loves Elvis. He does. That is just about the only music he sings is Elvis music. So there you go. And he's good at it. And he is rehearsing again. We don't know when or how or how much or whatever, but he is rehearsing again. And he is a happy camper. He really is. He's a happy camper. It makes him happy to sing Elvis. So, and his family's doing well, and his living situation is doing well, and everything is good. Everything is good, and I'm so happy for that. That is fantastic. Okay, here we have, just since this morning, a home recording of "She Wears My Ring" by Mr. Elvis himself.
Where's my ring to show the world? Thank you.
That's not right. Like that little bit at the end, did you? I thought that was hilarious. Boom, 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 boom. That's good. And it's always fun when the other people there get into it, you know? That always makes it fun. All right, I'm going to play one by Sydney. As soon as I type it in. Da-da-da! And I have Elvis' version that I'm going to play after that. It's the one that we didn't get to play during the Sydney show last week. So here is Sydney Devine doing Funny How Time Slips Away.
Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Oh, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, but it seems like it was only yesterday. Gee, ain't it funny how time slips away. How's your new love? Oh, I guess he's doing fine. I heard that you told him that you love him till the end of time. Now that's the same thing that you told me, seems like just the other day. Gee, ain't it funny how time slips away. I gotta go now, I guess I'll see you around. Don't know when though, I never know when I'll be back in town. But remember when I told you, in time you're gonna pay. And it's surprising how time slips away. Yes, it's surprising how time slips away.
Da-da-da-da. You know, and at first, when he started singing, I thought I mucked up again. Because the first three or four notes, I thought it was Willie Nelson singing. And I thought, oh, Jenny, you mucked it again. You ding-a-ling. But it wasn't Willie Nelson. It was Sydney Devine. I promise. I promise. It was Sydney Devine singing that, okay? And now, here's one that I don't have to worry about mucking up unless it's somebody entirely different, because nobody sounds quite the same.
I'd like to turn the house lights up, ladies and gentlemen, because now that you've seen me, I'd like to take a look at you, okay? Beautiful. Thank you. Just leave them up for a minute, man. Woo. You know, it's funny because I can't see you, really. I can only see, like, the first row here. There's a lot of folks out there, boy. And up there, too, they were all saying. Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Well, I'm sweating a little bit, baby, but well, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny? Our time slips away. I sure knew love. I hope that he's doing fine. I heard you told him that you'd love him till the end of time. Well, that's the same thing that you told me, seemed like just the other day. Yeah, ain't it funny how time slips away. I gotta go now. Guess I'll see you hanging around. Gotta have it. Gotta have it, man. Don't know when though. Never know when I'll be back in town. But I remember what I told you, and I'm crying. Yeah, ain't it funny how time slips away. Yeah, ain't it funny. It's got on. It's got on. Oh. Although you really can't see back there, this is an owl.
Wait.
Thank you. You're a beautiful audience. Thank you. Really. Really.
Wow, he was always so nice, and he was always so good about accepting their gifts right there on stage. And can you imagine how good that felt for him to accept something from someone and say, hey, look at this. See, this is an owl in case you can't see it. And he has accepted drawings and big old cards and, of course, teddy bears, big, small, and everything in between. And it's so awesome. And even if he didn't keep everything, which, oh my gosh, how could he possibly keep everything? He made sure that it went to kids who needed a lift, who needed to know that he cared. That's a special heart given to a special man. And it just wasn't acknowledged enough. So we'll keep on doing it, honey. We'll keep on doing it. There you go. How about a little Charlie Daniels? You guys up for Charlie? And take your shoes and socks off. You're going to need those feet, honey. This is South's Gonna Do It Again.
Get down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So get around, now get around, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. You will, because again.
Hear weird things. I mean, you know, you guys know me well enough to know that my mind is different, okay? It's just different. And that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. So just kind of go with the flow. Bend with the wind. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. It's fine. All right. Yeah, okay. That guy could dance. Anyway, here is Mr. Roy Orbison, and we heard this song a couple weeks ago by the Traveling Wilburys, and Roy Orbison was the one singing it with the Traveling Wilburys. He was part of that conglomeration that they put together. And so here is Roy Orbison doing Not Alone Anymore.
I thought that you were on your own.
Da-da-da! An interesting little fact about Mr. Roy, and many of you might already know this, but many of you may not, so I'm going to tell you anyway. It used to be that in the 60s and 70s, everybody thought that he wore dark glasses because he was partially or completely blind. Not true. He was one of those rare birds who wanted to do something with his life, which was music, singing on stage in front of thousands of people that people enjoyed and loved, and it made him feel good to do it, but it scared him to death. He wore those dark glasses because they were a mechanism for him to hide behind. He felt protected. He felt safer because he had those dark glasses on. It's like hiding under a blanket on the bed when you think there's a monster coming in your room, but it made him feel better. It made him capable of performing. So, hey, you know, whatever works, whatever works. But Roy Orbison was not blind. So if any of you were operating under that misinformation, you now have that corrected. Yes, he was very, very shy. But dark glasses made him able to perform. And I think it's worth it. It was definitely worth it. So he could have 47,000 zillion pairs of dark glasses if he wanted to. It'd be all right with me. That's fine. Change them every 2 minutes. I don't care. If it makes you able to perform and makes you feel safe, makes you feel good, fine, because performing is what made everybody else feel good. So I think that was fantastic. I think it was fantastic. And that was something that Elvis never got over. Was before every show, he had so many butterflies in his stomach they could have taken off for the moon and made it, but that never went away. Before every show, he got stage fright. It happens to more artists than you think. And usually, by the first 4 or 5 lines of the first song, it goes away. And then you're fine and able to just perform and no problem. That was me. I had so many butterflies before I'd start singing. Oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to get carried through the roof and into the moon. But once you start singing, it goes away. It just goes away. It's like the thing you were afraid of, you're starting to do. Okay, they've heard you. You don't need to be afraid of it anymore. Just go and do it. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many artists have that feeling before a performance. I have a couple of names in mind, but not being 100% sure, I'm not going to say. But I do know that Elvis got stage fright before every performance. And Roy Orbison, his stage fright never went away during a performance. It was there the whole time. But he found a way to feel secure enough to do what he loved to do. And that's the important part. And we all loved it too. So that's great. Okay. And, John, I found that song that wouldn't play when you sent it to me this morning. I found it, honey. And it's going to play right now. Donovan doing a remastered version of Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Songs of love.
Hurdy-gurdy man. And it was quite popular back in the day when it came out. But Donovan was quite popular back in the day when he came out. So, you know, that didn't come out right. Anyway, yeah, when we started hearing his songs, he was very popular. Yes. And that was a popular song. I mean, that was, stop and think about it, kids. The 60s. Uh-huh. The Vietnam War, and along with that, a lot of heroin, cocaine, weed, most especially weed because it was less expensive and easy to get, and weird dancing and drinking in the park. And yes, I'm thinking of San Francisco and down around Haight-Ashbury. I mean, you would go into some of those quote-unquote apartments, and every room would just be, forget the furniture, it was just a mess of mattresses on the floor. And you really don't want to know everything that went on those mattresses, but it was, that was a drug den. I mean, you know, the people lived there, they slept there. I don't know if they even ate at all anywhere, but it was quite an interesting decade. Very strange. Let's say I was glad that I lived in the Pacific Northwest in a smaller city of Spokane because I didn't have to deal with L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego and New York and Chicago and even Dallas and all those other big cities where weird things were going on. I didn't have to deal with that. I saw it on TV. I saw it in the newspaper, but I was safe in my little microcosm of Spokane, Washington. So even though I knew all that stuff went on and everything, I didn't have to be a part of it. I wore the mini skirts. I wore the micro mini skirts with the heels, you know, the chunky heels that they used to wear all the time. I used sweaters. I was a sweater girl. Yeah. but I didn't do the love beads and the unkept hair and the headbands and things. I didn't do that stuff. The Nehru jackets and the torn jeans. And no, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Some of the kids that I saw at school did, but they got sent home because back then there was a dress code. You didn't get away with that stuff. And your hair had to be cut up above your ears. That did not go down too well. But if you didn't do it, you didn't go to school. Well, you know what? When you're high on drugs all the time, you don't really care about school. So I just didn't have to deal with that stuff. It was elsewhere, out of my sight, not a part of my life. All I did was see it. So it's a misconception that it was like that everywhere or that every young person was involved, because that's not true. That's not true. Everybody knew about it, but not everybody was involved. Media. Hey, we all know what media can do. We all know what media can do, and it's not always true. So I don't know what got me onto that. I just wanted you to know that, because of that song, that Hurdy-Gurdy Man, that used to be played around a lot at the pop parties and everything, what we call pop parties. That song was always there somewhere, you know, and there were a few others. Memories, what can I tell you? Memories. Okay, so here is, this is another memory, but this is cool. Manfred Mann is the band, and they're doing Blinded by the Light.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
It's gonna make it through the night.
Yeah, Manfred Mann. Okay, one word I got finished. There we go. Okay, we're talking about 1960s clothes. Okay, hip hugger bell bottoms. You know, tight to the knee and then flare out. As big as you could get them to go. But, you know, most people didn't do them real big because then they got in the way. One of my favorite things was that they would take orange, yellow, hot pink, and chartreuse green and mix them all together in this wild, I don't know, flowery, weird pattern. But, yeah, I had a short set like that. I didn't wear pants like that because it was, like, too much of a neon sign. You know, I was too shy for that. So it was usually, like, blue flowers or something like that. Blue flowers, brown flowers, things like that. But yeah, the 60s clothes were very unique, very unique. And you know what, if you would wear them now, nobody would think it was weird. They really wouldn't. They wouldn't think it was weird. It just, oh, look at that, you know, no big deal, go on about your business, you're okay. That, I think that's funny. I think that's really funny. We thought we were so hip, so different in the 60s. But once everybody got used to it, it was no big deal. So what was special about it? Oh, only at the beginning. And then it was just normal stuff. So, hey, you know, I think that's funny. I find that very amusing. Very amusing. And, yeah, somebody put the comment, like, share. Well, honey, but Cher did things a little different. As you'll notice, when Cher wore an outfit, oh, yeah, she had the bell-bottom legs, but it was usually lace or cutouts. There wasn't much else to her outfit. And she does the same thing today at 76. I think that's phenomenal. The lady is phenomenal. Man. I wish I could look like her when I get to be 76. I don't think that's going to happen, but wouldn't it be? Well, I don't have enough money to look like her at 76. You know, that's just how that one goes. But I always got a kick out of watching whatever she was wearing on the TV show or when they would film a concert or something like that. I always got a kick out of whatever she was wearing because there just wasn't a whole lot to it. There really wasn't. She had so much hair, she didn't have to worry about having a lot of clothes on, you know, the Lady Godiva type. It was, she made things very interesting. And I think the guys probably found it even more interesting than I did. Right, John? Yeah, you betcha. Okay, here is Celtic Thunder. And part of them is otherwise known as Heritage. And this is Gold and Silver Days. John sent this morning.
As I'm sitting in the firelight and turning back the years, I can hear my mother singing in the morning as she scrubbed our shining faces and then packed us off to school. All too soon those days were over without warning. Sing me the song of our gold and silver days, days filled with innocence and light. Not a penny to our name, we were happy just the same. In our gold and silver days. In the parlor on a Friday night, my father took the floor. I can hear us join together in the chorus, singing just a song at twilight or the moon behind the hill. Now those voices all are silent, gone before us. Sing me the song of our gold and silver days, days filled with innocence and at the daily field on Sunday after Mass. I can hear the songs, the stories, and the laughter. Through the years we all were scattered, but the friends we made back then were the friends we could rely on ever after. So sing me the song of our gold and silver days, days filled with innocence and light. Not a penny to our name, we were happy just the same in those gold and silver days.
Man, I love listening to those guys. They have such pure voices. And I think the first guy that sang on this song, I believe he has died. I think I heard that. Which it just makes it even more special and all the more sad. Because he's got such a sweet voice. I love listening to him. Okay. Hello, Miss Sue. How are you doing, honey child?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm sorry I'm running late on this stuff. Got busy.
That's all right, honey.
I've been working on a lot of papers that I need to file and just trying to get a little more organized. That's all.
You're trying to do what? Oh, my gosh, you said a dirty word. You said a dirty word. I tell you, I'm telling my mama on you.
Oh, I'm trying.
organized. Oh, Lordy. I haven't been organized since I quit working.
You
and
have?
Sometimes,
really?
Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. But sometimes it's like when I'm looking for something, like I used to organize my bills. When I would pay them, they would go in the file marked for that bill, and any paper I would get in would go in the file marked for that piece of paper. And I don't do that anymore. You know what
really?
I do now?
Well,
I pay bills. I take the whole handful of bills and open the file drawer and put it in there and close the drawer.
Well.
If I don't ever need anything in that pile, then I'm okay. If I have to find something, it's like, okay, you spend an hour going through the whole drawer. and I tell myself every time, I says, well, Jenny, if you would go back to putting things in a file marked for that particular thing, then you wouldn't be doing this. And then I say, yeah, but I don't want to. That's called then live with the girl, because you made that bed. So, hello. Okay.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, Jeebin Christmas! Oh. I'm gonna have to change that. You know, I'm just gonna have to go back to trying to be organized, because it's just, it doesn't feel good to not have things.
No, it's a head thing. You feel much better when everything's in order.
But you know what? I'm gonna wait until January.
But sometimes things just get out of place like that, and you know, you can only do what you can do, and
if I have my files all labeled and they're out there, I don't lose nothing. Nothing gets out of place. But I'm not doing that now, and it's all a big jumbled mess. But I'm waiting for January.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait for January and just start fresh January 1st. Make up those files, Jenny, and put them where they belong. Don't be pulling your garbage file stuff. So
no. Do it when you can. You don't have to be in a hurry about it, but just do it when you can. And
this year and previous year's files are never going into a particular file folder. They are always going to be a jumble mess because I ain't sorting them out. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to make new file folders come January, and then I can start fresh next year. I ain't putting stuff from this year in. Not going to happen.
You're not doing it, huh? Well,
no, I'm not doing it. If I need something,
I'll
dig through and find it.
I have all of my mother's files, okay? And, you know, they own the construction company. And I have many, many files, boxes to go through for in the office. And I also inherited all of Mother's photos and Robert's photos, my stepfather. And it's like, well, what am I going to do with all these?
Exactly. And I'm sitting here going, I'm missing half my photos, you know, because I don't have any of the photos from Tahiti. Our vacation, I don't have any of those pictures, because when I left, I told Mr. Jerkface I want my part of the photos. There was two prints of all the photos. He said, yeah, okay, and he never did it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about to go back in that house and do it, so I never got them.
Yeah.
I have the memories. I have the memories. That's going to be good enough, so that's okay. Besides, he took all the pictures anyway, so how much fun would that be? I am going to have to go again someday, and then I'll take my own flipping photos.
Jerry, just more stuff to haul around?
Well, I don't plan on doing too much more hauling, honey. No, I hate moving.
Oh,
honey, do you know how much stuff I got rid of the last two times I moved? Oh, my word. When I moved from the apartment to that little tiny trailer, I got rid of 7 garbage bags full of clothes, 2 huge boxes of books, which it hurt me. That was literally painful. And I got rid of, I even got rid of some kitchen stuff. And it was like, okay, I know I have to. I don't have anywhere to put it. So I did get rid of all that stuff. Then when I moved out of the little trailer into this trailer, I got rid of three more garbage bags full of clothes. Oh, guys, I'm telling on myself. Oh, Lord. I got rid of a box of shoes. I did not get rid of more books. That didn't happen. I was down to what I felt I needed to keep. So I did not get rid of any books. I got rid of a lot of porch decorations, you know, because I had, like, antique farm tools and things like that for porch decorations. I didn't bring a lot of that because I got really no place much to put it. But, I got rid of a whole lot. I got rid of a whole house full of stuff. You know, so I even gave away two wing chairs that I wish I'd kept because I used to sit in those chairs and read. And if you wanted to take a nap, you know, because reading sometimes depends on what you're reading. Sometimes you're reading something that kind of puts you to sleep. Those wing chairs are nice because your head just kind of fell sideways in that, and the wing of the chair supported it. So well, I don't fall asleep reading anymore because it doesn't feel good no more. So that was probably a good thing. Oh, Lordy. And then I look at this mess and I think, you know, do you really need all this stuff? The answer is no, not really, but I don't want to go through it and get rid of it anymore. So it's just going through it that's my problem. If I didn't look and I let somebody else come in and do stuff, I probably wouldn't miss half the stuff they got rid of.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
And that's the sad truth. That's the sad truth. I have emotional attachment to too much junk.
Yeah,
I need a barn for all my extra stuff.
I've been behind because of this accident I had with my leg, and I tell you what, it's put me behind. Thank God for my daughter. There's a girl that I found that I just found her, and I called her a couple of days ago, and she's supposed to be over here Monday, and talked to her about coming once a week to clean my house for me, I keep everything pretty much in order and shape, so it's just my office is a mess right now. So anyway, hopefully.
Well, see, that's the thing though. If my office is not pristine by any means, but I won't let anybody else in here because
they
start putting things away for me, and I will never find them again, and I can't have that.
Oh no, the office is mine. That's on me.
It's kind of somebody comes in to help me clean house. Okay, you vacuum, you sweep, you mop, you dust, you can do the dishes and put things away in the kitchen. Everything else, leave it alone on penalty of death.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
And I'm very serious.
Do your thing.
When somebody helps me with stuff and then I can't find things, oh, I'm fit to kill.
And then the last thing you say is, oh, by the way, we just put in new cameras.
I love it. And they are hidden, so you can't see them. You better be good. Santa is watching. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, hey, let's play some music, okay, sweetie pie?
Okay.
And we're going to come back with Elvis. Yes, Elvis.
Of course.
This one John sent me today. Yeah, John sent me some good stuff today. This is called Mine, and it's take 8 and 9. And you got to listen for 8.
Oh, I should have told you.
We thought you were going to try it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is 9. This is 9.
Album, man, instrumentals.
beats for only you. Mine is a love that always will be true.
Ha ha ha! and shiny, and their eyes were blazing red. They didn't have no feathers. These chickens all were dead. They picked that farmer up, and he died by the claw. They cooked them extra crispy, and they ate them with coleslaw. Ghost chickens in the sky.
Oh, Leroy, cuz.
That has got to be about the funniest song that I have ever heard. As many times as I have heard that, it still makes me laugh. And that you listen to this version, and you hear Marty Stewart standing there laughing. He's playing the guitar while he's standing right next to Leroy, and he is laughing his head off. It is hilarious. I love it. I love it. That is something. I don't know. See, John was the one that originally gave us this song to play. What was it, a year ago, 2 years ago, however long it was, I don't know, but and it just gets better every time I hear it. It does. It gets better every time I hear it. And you got to think Colonel Sanders is rolling over in his grave. Oh my gosh, it makes you want a chicken sandwich, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, wouldn't you love to have some of that original good when it first came out, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Oh, yeah. That'll never exist again.
No, I think that they sold the formula, is my understanding. I don't know for sure. But that was really great chicken. But no more.
Well, he died so many freaking years ago that there is nothing keeping him from changing the recipe now. So it's all right. We're never going to have that chicken again. He's been dead, long gone. He can't police it. He can't watch it. He can't chastise. So it is what it is, and whoever owns it now gets to do what they want to do, and they've mucked it up. So, you know, I kind of go for the extra crispy anymore. Well, the original isn't the same as it was, so I just go for the extra crispy. And it's okay because it's supposed to be different. So that's all right.
Yeah. Well,
but they blew it. They blew it.
They
okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
But whatever.
I know.
Notice, or is it just me? Y'all answer me. Is it like every restaurant you go to, whether it's a drive-through or a restaurant, the things just not taste the same anymore?
I think that's true. I think that's true because they're all taking shortcuts. They didn't used to take those shortcuts. They used to have certain recipes, and they made things for those certain recipes, whether it was Burger King and doing their fire grill. I don't think they do that anymore because it was hazardous. And then Wendy's, whatever made them taste different, and it's just all run-of-the-mill, pull it out of the freezer and slap it on the grill right now. It's not fire-grilled or anything. It's just a regular old flat grill. And it all tastes pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it does. It's sad, really. It's like, God, what am I going to eat today that's going to even taste halfway good? And then you find a place that is pretty good, and you go back the second time, and it's a totally different taste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they've gotten a different supplier. Supplier does their own thing. I cook at home. I don't eat out very often. I think, let's see, what was it? Last month, I think, I stopped at Burger King Drive-In and got some chicken nuggets and a hamburger, and it was like, okay, this sucks. But, you know, being diabetic at 9 o'clock at night, I had to have something to eat. So I went ahead and ate it, but it wasn't very good. And Burger King used to be fantastic, you know, but
anymore. It's not anymore.
No, it's not anymore. So churches, chicken, I hear is good. Popeye's chicken, I hear, is good. So Popeye's is like half a block down from KFC in Milledgeville, so I think Popeye's is my next stop when I want chicken. So, or I just cook it here at home. I got an air fryer, and it turns out really nice and tender, and I can cook it till it's black. I can cook it after I cook hamburger. That I like that, to cook chicken the day after hamburger or steak. It adds a different kind of a flavor to it, and I really like that. So I wait until, if I cook a hamburger or a steak, then I wait the next night, I'll cook a piece of chicken, then I'll clean the grill. And it's in my air fryer. And it's somehow the air fryer cooks it different, so that it's always tender. It never gets tough.
Oh, yeah, so, that is different. Yeah.
I've
enjoyed it. But still, there's that certain ways it's just not like it should be. I don't know.
No, it's not the same as it was. You're right. It's not the same. Well, they've changed all the – they take shortcuts. They buy it when somebody else has made it. All they do is reheat it. They don't cook anything anymore. So that's why no matter where you go, it all tastes the same.
Mm-hmm.
So eat at home, honey. Get you an air fryer and eat at home.
My son, 2 weeks ago, said, I know where to go get some good chicken. And I said, where? Like, he found something fabulous. He said it, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. You put an egg wash on it, and you roll it in the cornflakes or the flour or the cracker crumbs, and you put more egg wash on it and wash and roll it in the crumbs again. I like cornflakes. And you roll it in the cornflakes again, and then you have all your spices and everything in the egg wash, and then you air fry it, and you got some good chicken.
Yeah. Well.
You think you're going to go out and get some good chicken? You're mistaken.
Well, I tell you what, the nicest places so far that I found since all this, everything's changed for fried chicken, is a grocery store called Brookshire's. It's a grocery store with a deli. And they have the best chicken. No, so then I tried another store and chicken, and it was really good. So far, the chicken the store chicken in the deli is probably the best.
Well, and I know walking by that, the chicken warmer in Walmart smells really good, but when you eat it, it's just a cooked chicken. There's nothing special about it. It's just a chicken.
Yeah.
So I can do that at home a whole lot cheaper. So I just
I like your deli chickens too at Walmart. They're pretty good.
It's decent, but to me it's nothing special. I'll cook it at home and get a better piece of chicken, and it's not going to cost nearly as much.
Some spices on it. At least it has some damn spices on it.
Well, honey, you haven't seen my spice cupboard at my house. Everything I cook has some good spices on it, so I don't need to rely on the grocery stores.
Well, I do it my way. Yes, but for restaurants, you just don't find it. It's not there.
I just don't eat at restaurants much anymore. And especially now, when I'm by myself, who wants to go to a freaking restaurant by yourself? I don't. So I just go home. It's no fun going by yourself. I just cook at home. You got nobody to talk to.
No, it's not.
You sit there and you read a book, or you're eating so you can't read, and it's like, I can be home and do that. I don't need to spend the money to be at a restaurant and do that. So I don't bother anymore.
Right.
I don't bother.
Well, anyway, what kind of songs does John have, Zach? Do you pick out some real good ones?
Oh, yes, honey, and you missed a lot of them. But that's okay.
We're going to have
good ones from here on out, too, because they're all good. This is going to be the Indian Show Band. Love is in the air.
Can you feel it? I can. It's all over the place tonight. Oh, yeah. steady hand when the day is nearly done.
About them before? That's my question. Wow. I mean, golly, geez. If somebody can be that good and we don't hear about them, something's wrong with their PR. That's my take on it. Anyway, let's have some Elvis. I have two versions of the same song here, and I have absolutely no idea which one John gave me this morning. So, I'm going to play the longer one. If it's right, it's right. If it's not, it's not. It's just what it is. So here is Elvis doing It's Different Now.
Look at you and tell myself how wonderful you are. You're so different now. To me, you're much more wonderful, more wonderful by far. Yes, you're different now. But it's different now. I'm so glad I still have you. Look at me, and we're so different now. Love gets better every day, and in some peculiar way, it's always different now. If we ever say goodbye, you'd be lost, and so would I. What's the difference now? Between us, love just for a day, and a love that's here to stay. That's the difference now. a difference now. I look at you, you look at me, and we're so different now. Love gets better every day, and in some peculiar way, it's always different now. If we ever say goodbye, you'd be lost, and so would I, and what's the difference now? Between us, love just for a day, and a love that's here to stay. That's the difference now, the difference now.
I like that song. I really like that song.
I do too.
Yeah, it was like, okay, yeah, we were in love before, but there's a difference now. Okay, I can buy that. Yeah, we can take that one to the bank. That's okay. Okay, this isn't Elvis, but it is Elvis songs. Okay?
Okay.
Sydney is singing a medley of Teddy Bear, All Shook Up, and It's Now or Never. And he's pretty darn good. He's good. So here's Sydney.
Oh, baby, let me be close by. Love and teddy bear, boss you by. Got my back hand on your pretty fingers through my hair. I wanna be teddy bear. I don't wanna be a tiger. Tigers play too tough. I don't wanna be a lion. Lions ain't of the kind you love me, no. Just I wanna be your teddy bear. Bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say you make me, well, you're both in love. I'm all shook up, Please don't ask me what's the horn of my mind. A little screwed up, but I'm feeling fine. When I meet a girl that I love best, my heart, is given to death. But she touching my hand until I die. Her lips are like a volcano sign. I'd rather say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
I like that wee bit. I like any wee bit. Tonight, evening, tomorrow will be too late.
cosa
in giornanze sole. My heart was captured, my soul surrendered. I spent a lifetime waiting for the right time, but who knows when we'll meet again this way.
He should have been doing that instead of just the event. He should have done that. He missed it. He mucked it up. What can you say? Yeah. And he's not an ETA. He's not, he is an ETA, but he's not exclusively. He doesn't do just Elvis tribute songs. He doesn't try to impersonate Elvis. He's singing it in his own voice, and he's just singing it because he likes Elvis songs. He loves Elvis. But he doesn't do Elvis exclusively. He does a whole lot of other things too. We've only heard him do Elvis because that's how we engineered the show. Okay? Okay, John. I guess we need to do some of Sydney's other songs now so that everybody can be disabused of the idea that he sang was Elvis. He didn't. He sang a whole lot of stuff. And he's good. But anyway, as an ETA maybe not so much, but he's not doing it to be an ETA. So it really is okay, guys. It really is okay. Relax a little bit. You're fine. He's fine. Well, he was fine. He's dead now, but, he's still fine. Wherever he is, he's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, Jenny, that's enough. Just get on to a different track. Your horse is tired. Get another one. Okay. Elton John, how's that for a different track?
Yeah.
John did this. John sent this to me. Yeah, John has very eclectic music tastes, and I think it's wonderful. I enjoy it so much. Here is Elton John doing Porch Swing in Tupelo, a tribute to Elvis.
There's a porch swinging in the shade of the south, with a sweet honey to suffer that old hush your mouth. It's a slow road on down that old Natchez Trace through Alabama cotton fields to a state of grace. It's a crisp golden autumn on the Tennessee line, rolling down the Mississippi like you're headed back in time. Town's closed on Sunday, everybody's in church, it's empty as the moon
John recognizes Elvis' greatness, and he even gets hung with that media one thing. Anyway, guess what time it is, guys? We are done for today, but it was a great time. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the music. We even have some leftover songs for Tuesday, or maybe Thursday, depending on whether we have a theme on Tuesday or not. If we do, then these will be on Thursday. You know, it's kind of fun doing theme shows on Tuesdays. It makes it a lot better. Who knows? We might start sticking in stories and stuff. Maybe.
Okay.
Why not? We won't get into Elvis history because Shauna does that on YouTube, but we can do all kinds of other things, and it can be all Elvis related or it can be related to other people. So it could be good. We'll see what happens. We haven't talked about it yet. This just came off the top of my head and fell on the floor. So we'll see what happens. If it gets up and crawls away, we'll just let it go. But thank you all for joining me.
It fell out of your head. Wait a minute. I was trying to, it fell on the floor. It fell out of your head and on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, it fell out of my head and on the floor. And then if it gets up and walks away, you'll know
I
it was one of those science fiction movie things. And you it takes you a minute, honey. It takes you a minute,
yeah.
But that's okay. You get there. hey, guys, we got gospel show coming up on Sunday, so don't miss that. You don't want to miss the gospel show on Sunday because we have a whole lot of great music on Sunday, too. It's just a different message. So come on in for that. You're going to find you're going to like it, and it's going to make you feel good. So come on over. Join us Sunday. Come back on Tuesday. We got a whole lot of stuff going on, and it's always music, 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 music. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. It just makes your music bones happy. So there you go. And thank you, everybody out in internet land, for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this and that you'll be back to listen again, because it's music all the time. And if you love today, you'll love the next one. So here we go, and I will see you all on Sunday. Take care, stay well, and be safe. Bye for now.
Good night.
Be